Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went, and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
Good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I got a little difficulty here. Give me just a minute, if you will. All right, I think we can. Got a little difficulty with YouTube, and trying to get it straightened out. Just a second. All right. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Fathers, we open your word. We're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us guidance, Father, and to open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this your word, so that we, Father, can be stronger, better children. Help us to build our faith, Father, and walk upon that pathway of righteousness. Be with us now throughout this evening, this service. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This morning, we went through the temptations of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've seen a lot of things that we should be doing that we have been lax in. and a lot of things that we should not do that we have done. Now this evening, we're going to be in the fifth chapter of Matthew. And this chapter is entitled The Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. Once again, we're going to find a lot of things that mankind has forgotten. And in one way or the other, whether he chose not to walk in the ways of God or whatever, but he's lacked walking in the Word of God. So as we get into it here, with verse 1, it says, and seeing the Beatitudes, he went up, and or seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain. When he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, now we're getting into the teaching here of Jesus through his day and time as he was here on this earth. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That word blessed also means happy. And yet that needs to be one of the basic descriptions of a believer and his inner condition as a result of the work of God in his life. Now, when we look at things, you take a look at the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit are the opposite of the proud or haughty spirit, because you see, to be in poor in spirit is to be humble. And the way that we need to be humble is by the grace of Almighty God and have acknowledge our sin and therefore independence upon God is to save us. And then we will inherit the kingdom of heaven. This kingdom of heaven actually described is really the general designation of the dwelling place of the saved. And we can enter that while we are here on this earth. Think about that. And we should, because if we don't, when we stand before him, we could be missing out on a lot of things. Now, verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Those of us that are moan and have troubles, it seems like we just can't get our mind straight, and we walk with a lot of anguish. You see, we do that because we're really not ready for the Lord and his kingdom. We're walking lonely. So we need to be comforted. God has gave us everything that we need in order to reach that point. Mainly the Holy Spirit. And that is something that a lot, and I'm talking about a lot of our churches, do not teach. They don't teach the work of the Holy Spirit. And some just downright rejects it. And you know, we're told that really the only sin that you and I cannot be forgiven for is to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. That word blessing means several different things. It means to curse, to deny, or to reject. That'll get you in a lot of trouble. Now, here in 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You know, that refers again to those who have been humble before God. You know, and they will not only inherit the blessedness of heaven, but also will ultimately share in. Now that, just stop and think about it. Share in the kingdom of God on earth, as we were talking about just before. Verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, those that are thirsting after righteousness, and I'm one of them, because they experience a deep desire for personal righteousness, which we find that in itself is a proof of their spiritual rebirth. But you see, to those who are poor and empty in their own spiritual poverty, they recognize the depth of that need. And they hunger and thirst for that which only God can give. And I spend my days and most of my night in search of the truth of God's word, hungering for more of him, and wanting to reach out and do more work for him. Not to lift me up before mankind, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and to share this gospel with those that are out here walking in darkness and lost, and be of help to them, and pray that we can lead them back to the Lord Jesus Christ, letting them know that they need something more than themselves. And they need to ask him for forgiveness. Think about that. They need to ask him for forgiveness. So that they also can make heaven their home. Now, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You want mercy? Then you have also got to be one that is merciful with others. You're not quick in judgment. And you're not out to hurt anyone, to hurt them by feelings or any other way. Eight, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. He's telling us there, you want to know how to see God? He's letting you know there. You've got to do it with a pure heart. That our lives have been transformed and transformed by the grace of Almighty God. You can become a believer and be walking with faith and all, but until you have reached the point of actually being born again, you may not be walking sinlessly, but you have changed and you are growing. Daily, in faith, in holiness, until you come to the point of being born again. At that point, you know that your Father in heaven has forgiven you, and that you are where he wants you to be. Man, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The peacemaker, you know, we are at peace with God, and we also desire to live at peace with all of mankind. That's what a peacemaker is. We don't want to be out here continually arguing about this and that. We don't even argue about the Word of God. We use the Word to state facts. State the facts and then let it stand. We don't get in arguments about it because, you see, that's what the lost want. They want us, drag us off into arguments trying to prove their point. No. You see, if we do that, then we're not peacemakers. Now, 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, we have seen so much in God's word about that, about being persecuted. The Lord Jesus Christ actually was being persecuted by mankind from the day of his birth. He was born under a king that wanted him dead. He was accused of all kinds of things lied on and lied about. They even paid people to be false witnesses against him. He was beaten. Jailed. Cursed. Spit on. Hit. And yet, he was still without sin, and while he was on that cross, he asked his Father to forgive him. He asked him to forgive him. He said, because they know not what they do. What about you? Can you be that forgiving? You want to make heaven your home? You better get there. And the apostles, his disciples, they were beaten. They were stoned. They were in prison. They were martyred. They left this life being martyred, being killed, all for following him and preaching about his name. And that is coming again. There's going to be a time you're going to have to choose to either accept the mark of the beast that is called the mark of the Antichrist, or choose to walk with Jesus. And if you choose to walk with Jesus, the word tells you, you will be beheaded. But if you're in the hands of God, he'll take care of you right up to the end, and then he will take you home to be with him. So we really have nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. Now, verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. What we've just got through saying, it's all right there, written. You see, these are things we need recorded in our hearts and our minds so that we have them when needed. And the Holy Spirit can reach in and bring them out and use them for our good. 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Rejoice, you know you're not the only one that's ever had to go through it, or will be the last to go through it, unless the Lord Jesus comes and takes his church out of this life first. And how do you stand in this life? You're in 13. He says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. We are to be the salt. In other words, we are to be character-wise that adds character and stature and flavor unto this world. And we act as a preservative that we melt coldness, heal wounds, and we are very appropriate description of the believer in his relationship to the world in which he will live. We're to be strength in this life. But so many have forgotten that. We don't stand just for ourselves. We have to stand for the mankind of this world. We are to be an example and a light unto mankind. So when he looks at you and I, he will be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ and God Almighty shining through us. Because not only are we salt of this earth, we are also a light unto this world. As 14 tells us, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We're not to take our light and hide it. We are to stand up and broadcast it. Shout it from the highest place we can find. And make sure that we are walking in and with the word of Almighty God for all to see and to hear. And make sure the words that come out of your mouth are God's words, not man's. 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. You can take at night and take a room in the house that is so dark that if you was to put your hand in front of your eyes, you couldn't see it. And yet you could strike one match. That one little match would make light in that whole black room. And that's what we're to be in this life, in this world. And that's why a lot of our own loved ones and our friends will not have anything to do with us or with the church. It's because we are not walking as we talk about doing. Think about it. We see it all around us. Now, 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Because the works that you should be doing are his works. And it's his works that will lead them from darkness to light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ, to where they can receive forgiveness for their sins, put their trust in him, and begin their journey of walking on the pathway of righteousness and becoming that born-again child of the living God. 17. Jesus says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And as we are also in the study of the Old Testament on Mondays and Tuesdays, as we come through, we're going to see a lot of prophecy where God was dealing with them and giving them prophecy for your and my day. And we will see a lot of it that is already at work, some that has already passed, some at work today, and we'll also be learning about some that are yet to come. Think about it. Now, 18. For verily I say unto you, shall heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. He's letting you and I know. When I look in my Bible, this teacher's Bible that I have, and if I look in the footnotes of that and read what it says about one jot or one tittle, rather, it says refers to the most minute letter and be fulfilled. A jot is the smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It functions as a Y in Hebrew letters to distinguish them from one another. You see, to distinguish them one from another. You and I have been made in the image of Almighty God, but we are not all made the same. We all have different works. We're not all called for the same line of work, but we are all called to help spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are just called to do it in different ways. So follow the calling that God has called you for. And if you feel that God has been calling you and you don't know what your calling is, stay with him in prayer and find out what that calling is. And then walk in it. Now, 19. Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach other men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. You hear that? You see, that's not my word. That was the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, you better be walking in the word. And you better be exceeding those that are teaching the wrong things and going contrary to it. And you better be living what you teach. Now, there are times that you and I will be tried. But we know that we don't go through that trial or trial by ourselves. The Lord's always with us. There's times that you may have sickness on you. I have. But you can still walk in joy. You don't complain and murmur about it. You walk in joy and you still reach out to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Father, Holy Spirit of Almighty God, and you're still reaching out to be of help to others. Now, Jesus still talking. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thy fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Watch your speech. Watch what you say and what you think. If one of those thoughts come into your head, you know it's coming from Satan or one of his little demons. You don't act on it, you get rid of it. You tell it. I've got the authority to use Jesus' name, and I'm telling you in the name of Jesus to flee. You leave me alone. You're banned from me. Now go in Jesus' name, and he's got to go. Now, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remaineth, thou remembereth that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. And when he's speaking about brother here, he's not talking about your blood brother. He's talking about those of the family of Almighty God. You see, all of mankind is our brothers and sisters. But we are to be especially looking out for those that belong to the family of God. But we are to help all. And we're not to have anything against any of them. We cannot hold grudges against no one. Agree with thy adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary, Satan, he doesn't say Satan here, he's calling him adversary, deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Now, you know, that's saying a whole lot, isn't it? He called it that even the adversary, which is an opponent, at law disagrees with you. It is to your advantage to be reconciled to him also. Jesus' exhortation here in this scripture is to urge you and I to go out of our way to avoid legal conflicts before human judges. And you know, the payment of debt and prison refers to simply mean the normal legal process that one would encounter in a civil suit. But the only time that we are supposed to stand against the civil laws and courts is when they are going against God and his ways. Just like they did with the closing of our churches with this covert. They left their liquor stores and beer joints open. They said they were essential. The churches wasn't essential, so they told them to close their doors. And almost every one of our churches in this land closed their doors. There was a few, but very few, that was like me and refused to close and kept their doors open. I never had a sick one that enter in. No one come down with any type of sickness for attendance. Now, verse 26, verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. In other words, pay what you owe. And if it's something you've been taken to court in and you're found guilty, pay whatever price is asked of you. Now, 27, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. You see, got a lot of things to get rid of, get out of your life. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of the members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast on the hill. I'm going to stop there because we still got quite a bit more to go. And I don't want to take things so fast that we're going to miss part of it. So we're going to stop here for this evening. We'll be picking up there. Tomorrow is Friday. We'll be picking up there tomorrow morning. So have a great day. A day with the Lord God. And remember that, God willing, we can all be back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. and be standing before the Lord our God in His Word. So until then, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for a time that we can all come together to share your word, Father, to learn more about how to walk in this life, to make heaven our home, and how we should be living our lives, Father, to help others to find their way of making heaven their home. Use us now, Father, in great and mighty ways, not to lift us up, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he paid the price, Father. He paid for all of us. Now, Father, you know we stand in need of a church. We're in your hands, Father. We wait upon you. We know that you will take care. Help us to grow stronger and be ready and lead us into your will and your ways in all things. Father, our families and our friends, we all have them that are walking in darkness. I pray that that Holy Spirit can work with them, Father. Let them know that they are in need of something more than themselves and can help to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ and a saving knowledge so that none be lost, Father. All make the home in heaven. And to this land, Father, it's standing full of evil. Our government has brought upon its people terrible things, and has even put terrible things, Father, in a lot of our churches. It should never have been brought in past the door, Father. We pray, help us to remove those come this election day, Father, from office. Just help us to put into office those, Father, that will work with you, work with us, and help us, Father, to bring this land to repentance and put it back upon the power government, back upon the foundation in which it is founded. Father, this is my prayer this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have a great night, all. Walk with God, he'll walk with you. And I pray to see you back with me come morning. Good night, all.